Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to help you get ready for NBA playoff action is Rohit Pinaya. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Ro. Rohit, great to have you back on the show.
Always good to be here, Rob.
So we are going to be jamming about all things NBA playoff betting, from series prices to conference totals to who's going to win to mindset in the way that we're going to attack the NBA playoffs. And it certainly got started in an amazing fashion. Looking last night, we had two games, and we're recording this on Thursday. We had Grizz Spurs followed up by Lakers Warriors. And I want to start with the Grizz Spurs for a second, because I even tweeted this out that when Memphis went out to like that 20 plus point lead in the first quarter, I mentally cashed that Grizz -4 bet. I'm like, ooh, wee, easy bet. Here we come. And then literally like 4 seconds later, here come the Spurs. And I was like, wah, wah, there goes this easy bet that I thought I was going to cash, only to see I had it at -4. Ja Morant not be able to make any free throws. I believe he's only 2 for 5 on the game. And I pushed. Oh, so disappointing.
Yeah, those are always tough. I ended up just getting the cover because I managed to get the Grizzlies at a slightly better line there, but it was definitely sweatier than it needed to be. But yeah, I mean, that's part of what makes it so fun is you see these huge momentum swings. And yeah, the Spurs went on that crazy run in the second quarter, and all of a sudden things just kind of shifted. But I feel like that gives us so much value too when we're live betting these games. Because if we do think, if we do see one team going a crazy run, sometimes it's a matter of, hey, this team's way better than the other team. But sometimes it's just a matter of, well, you just got to wait for the momentum to swing to the other side and then grab the other team at decent value.
And we are going to share a number of opportunities that you can take advantage of from a betting standpoint. And that is one of them. And this was also extremely apparent in the Lakers Warriors game. The Warriors come out to like a 15-6 lead. And I look at the live betting lines and the Lakers, I think, closed at -6. And I saw it down to -1.5 with some juice. The challenge, of course, being sometimes you got to jump on that really quick because of the lag between the TV and what you're seeing. And if a team scores, all of a sudden that changes. And then later on in the game, I think the Warriors also got that to a 13-point lead. So you could have gotten the Lakers at significant value. And I ended up not taking it, one, because of the early juice that I saw it -125, and then it was -145. And I'm like, all right, well, I like this number, but I'm not paying this monster price. But then I also didn't like what I saw out of the Lakers. And with where that line was, it was almost like, are the Lakers going to win this game? And you look at the first half, and I know that swings can happen in games, but the Lakers did not look like they had all that, and they did not impress me. So I wasn't exactly feeling all warm and fuzzy looking that I was going to be taking the Lakers laying points at any point in that game, even though there was an opportunity just like in that Spurs game.
Yeah, you know, and that's the tricky thing, is it seemed like the live odds makers were still very much considering the fact that the Lakers are the Lakers and are the defending champions. Because even when they fell down big there, yeah, you weren't getting a great line backing them on the spread or the money line, because they seemed pretty convinced that they were definitely in it. And I think that definitely plays a role as well, because those odds makers, it's not just a computer algorithm that sometimes we try to think it is. They definitely do keep in mind that some teams are more likely to come back than others. And I definitely feel that people know that the Lakers are more of a threat than a team like the Spurs, for example.
Yeah. So another thing from that game, which is going to share more on what is my NBA playoff betting philosophy going to be, prop bets. So I was fortunate enough to cash an under on Andre Drummond rebounds plus points. And boy, has that not turned into what everyone thought it was going to be. Andre Drummond, this prize commodity, and he almost seems like he's just like an also ran. I don't even think he played 20 minutes last night, but I think there's big opportunities on the prop side of things, because some of these lines are so sharp that you can find advantages one way or another. I'm curious your thoughts on the prop side of things as it relates to NBA playoff betting.
You know what? I think there's a lot of value there, and especially early as we kind of figure out what these guys' roles are going to be in the playoffs, because you're going to see obviously the benches shrink for both teams. You're going to see the big thing though is you're going to see those top players. I mean, it's not the late 90s, early 2000s where you've got guys like Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal averaging 40 minutes plus per game. In the regular season, you see, you see the top players getting maybe 32 minutes a game. And you're going to see that ramp up in the postseason. So you're going to see them get more minutes. You're going to see their usage rates increase. And you're going to see a decrease in some of those rotation players off the bench. So I think there's definitely value in looking at those things. Also value in looking like at those guys like Drummond, who are going to be exposed. And he pointed out that he didn't play a whole lot, but he was playing a fair bit early in that game. And that was a big reason why I felt like they fell behind. And so I think you can kind of get a feel for which guys aren't going to be having a big role in a particular series for whatever reason, be it matchups or they're just not good enough to cut it at the playoff level. And you can definitely use that to your advantage when you're looking at those prop bets for sure.
So sticking with the Lakers, one of the interesting things is that they are still one of the favorites to win the title. So right now, plus 200 to win the Eastern Conference, looking at them, plus 400 to win the championship. And of course, remember, shop your lines. You're going to see stuff in different places right there. And now they're favorites against the Suns. And I'm curious your thoughts on the Lakers, because we see every reason why you would want to bet on the Lakers, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, who wants to bet against LeBron. But there's just something in my spider sense that's just saying this just doesn't feel like a championship team right now.
You know what? It is really tough to say, because, I mean, they are obviously a championship team last year. They definitely have the pedigree. I mean, it's hard to consider them not coming out of the conference with, you know, healthy LeBron always seems to make it out of whatever conference he's in. So, I mean, it is tough to go against them in some ways, but I definitely know what you mean, because the Western Conference is an absolute minefield. We can get to it a bit later, but I definitely feel like Phoenix is being undervalued here. And you look at the task ahead of them, and, they came out with a win last night, which is huge, because I feel like having to play two games in the play-in would have been tough for them. But this is, Team LeBron's not getting any younger. He might be getting a little bit hobbled by injuries here and there, and he wants to play. But you don't want to have to go through a minefield in the West. You don't want to be playing, right now it's going to be a tough first round against the Suns. You could end up playing the Jazz in the second round, Clippers in the next round. It could be an absolute, it could be an absolute gauntlet they have to run to just to get to the finals. And I don't think the Eastern Conference team is going to be easy to run through this year, regardless of who comes out. So it's going to be a tough task. And I certainly don't like their current payout to win the Western Conference, because I don't think it's quite the gimme as it's listed at right now.
If you were going to bet the Suns, would you take the series price, or would you try and play more of a game-by-game money line?
I think the series price, in some ways, I actually think I would throw out the window. Absolutely. I think you got to consider the Suns, backing them on the money line in a few of these games, especially at home. They've just been so tough at home this year. And I definitely think they're getting undervalued. This is a team with plenty of talent. Chris Paul always just seems to elevate whatever team he's on. He might get a little bit of criticism for never winning a championship, but you saw what he did with the Hornets back in the day. You saw what he did when he first joined the Clippers. We saw what he did last year in Oklahoma City. He looks like the worst team in the league without him. And he's just a great team, elevates the team. And then you've got Devin Booker, you've got Ayton coming along. They're a very talented team. They can definitely steal a few games in this series. And I definitely think they are worth a little bit of a bet. One thing I really like about them, though, and if you like them to beat the Lakers, I think you've got to straight up consider taking them to win the championship. Because, I mean, this is a team that finished with the second best record in the NBA, only one game behind the first place team. And they have, at the book I was looking at, they have plus 1,700 odds to win the championship. I can't ever remember anything looking like that before with a team with the second best record entering the playoffs. So I think there's a lot of value to take them to maybe win the championship as, the second best team in the league, but a huge sleeper at this stage. And I think if you're considering that they could beat the Lakers, I don't see a whole lot of other teams posing a huge threat to them. And I think beating the Lakers would be a big first step into saying, hey, we're a championship contender. So I think if you're going to consider them in winning this series, you might as well consider sprinkling some money on their NBA futures championship odds.
And at that price, what you can also do is hedge come the finals. So let's say they take on Brooklyn, Philly, whatever, where all of a sudden you can be on the other side and create yourself an automatic win because of the gigantic number you've got.
Absolutely.
So one thing I want to talk to you about is an odds boost I saw from one of the sports books, and it got my mind working, and I thought it'd be a fun exercise to do on the show. So it said $20, $25 to choose any team to win the title with the odds, and we will give you $5 for every series they win. Who would you choose? And my first thought was, like you said, all right, the West is a gauntlet. So even if you like the Lakers, I'm not exactly in love with the Lakers right now. So I'm looking at the East. So you're like, all right, it's between Brooklyn, Philly, and Milwaukee. And Philly, to me, has the easiest path to the Eastern Conference Finals. So now you have to say, all right, can they beat, I would think, Brooklyn and or get to the finals? Philly was my lean. Right now I'm looking at them plus 650 at DraftKings to win the title. Who would you choose as your $25 team to win the title, knowing you get a $5 kicker for every series they win in the event that they don't win?
You know what? I think you hit the nail on the head with mentioning the 76ers there, because yeah, you've definitely got to consider how many rounds you think they're going to win. And I think the 76ers definitely take the first round. Most likely take the second round, because as you said, I mean, the Eastern Conference, it's very top heavy with those three teams at the top, with the Sixers, Bucks, and Nets. But past that, you know, there's a pretty decent drop off, and getting the number one seed, I think, in the East is going to be huge for the 76ers. So I think you can almost certainly say they're going to win those first two series, and then it becomes a bit more of a toss up down the stretch. But yeah, I definitely like the 76ers if you're looking at that prop. Over in the Western Conference, yeah, it is just a huge minefield. I'm not really sure who I would say has the easiest task right now. Of course, I think Utah will come out strong in their first round, but then you know they could end up playing someone like the Nuggets in the second round, and I think that's not the greatest matchup for them. So yeah, I think you definitely have to consider all those factors if you're taking a cool little boost like that. And I think with the 76ers first two rounds being an almost certainty, I think there's a lot to like there.
Staying out West, I feel like I'm drawn to the Clippers for some reason in a post-hype sleeper type of manner. So I don't want to bet the Lakers. So if I'm off the Lakers, then who do I want to be on? Utah, I'm not buying them as being the title team right there. Phoenix, I do like your mindset in terms of them, where they're seated in their potential, but I'm drawn to the Clippers because last year they were supposed to be that team. Well, now we've got them this year, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. The challenge with the Clippers, of course, being playoff P. Paul George just has not delivered when he is needed to. That is something that Kawhi Leonard has done. What are your thoughts on the Clippers?
I definitely think there's value to be had there, because I think the fact that they flamed out in the playoffs last year so badly has definitely shaded books against them a little bit. But I think, yeah, certainly from a talent perspective and from a how good they can be perspective, there's no reason this Clippers team can't be the best team in the league. They certainly have the makeup for it. They have a bunch of guys that can defend. They've got depth. They've got Kawhi. When PG's on, he's on, and he's fantastic. And they just have so much going for them. Now Ibaka's healthy. They're starting to get their healthy pieces back again. And I do think that they're going to have a bit of an easier task in the first round against the Mavericks. So I think, I think there is a lot to like about the Clippers, especially the fact that right now, like you said, they're kind of flying under the radar. And I think that has a lot to do with how they got bounced last year, and just the fact that people don't seem as convinced on the surface. But I'm with you. I think this is a team that has a pretty good shot at winning it all. And I placed... A little while ago, I placed a wager at almost plus 700, I think plus 675 on them to win the championship, which I thought was a good value. And I still definitely like it at what it is right now.
Love it, because I'm looking at it right now, plus 500. So you definitely got some value there. One of the things that's been challenging about figuring out these NBA playoffs is that you can see the reasons why the good teams will be good, but they're all flawed. So when you look at the Nets, who are currently the favorites to win the NBA title at plus 250, plus 110 to come out of the East, it's like, when they play their peak, you can see why they would be the best team and could steamroll through the playoffs. And it would be something that would seem extremely logical. The challenge, of course, being the lack of consistency and continuity that we've seen with the health in their lineup. And or what if they lose one of these players for a myriad of games, knowing that their margin of error is going up against the Bucks and Giannis, who are good but haven't gotten over the hump. There's another post-hype sleeper. And then Philly with Embiid, a team that seems like they have, this could be the year. They've got great defense there. Not sure if they can put it all together offensively. What are your thoughts on the Nets? Because we all see why they could be, but do you believe, and remember the first year for the Miami Heat with Bosch and Wade and LeBron, while they went to the finals, they did not win at all. So sometimes it takes a second year for these super teams to win.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought process as well, is I am a bit wary of backing the Nets as the overall favorites, because like you mentioned, you know, these teams often take a while to gel. And it's not like, you know, the big three have been playing together all season. It's always seems like one or two of them have been out of the lineup. So we haven't really seen these guys all play together. When we have seen them all play together, they haven't been great on the defensive side of things. And it might be cliche, but, you know, the saying defense wins championships exists for a reason. So there's also, you know, questions about how good they are on the defensive side of the ball. There's questions about how good they are down low. And there's also just questions about, you know, how they're going to perform when they, you know, if they fall down in a series or if they fall behind, because, you know, we've seen all these guys, you know, we've seen Durant, we've seen Irving, we've seen Harden, all with different teams, but, you know, and they're having fun when they're there with each other, when they're winning games, when they're running up the score in the regular season. But what happens when these guys, you know, fall behind a game or two in a series, right? They're playing against the Bucks, if they're playing against the 76ers and they lose a tough one or a couple of tough ones, what's going to happen to them in terms of their attitude? How are they going to recover from that? How are they going to come together as a team? Or are they going to just kind of start turning on each other and start pointing fingers? We don't know what's going to happen because we haven't really seen that. We haven't really seen them kind of deal with that sort of pressure before. So I, you know, while I think they are a very talented team, they could certainly win it all. I think there are too many question marks for me to trust them at the price they are right now.
I completely agree with that. And you mentioned fun. I'm curious, if we want to maximize our fun in betting during this NBA playoffs, how would you recommend we do that?
You know what? After seeing those two games last night, I think live betting is definitely the key to that. I think there's, you know, a lot of value, but there's also just a lot of fun to be had when you're taking these teams in games where you think, you know, the momentum completely swing in one way or the other, or when you're, you know, you're looking at these favorites and you're seeing not a whole lot of value in maybe betting them to win a series or a championship. But if you see them fall behind in a game, all of a sudden you sprinkle a bit of money on them and you wait for them to stage a comeback. And I think that makes things a lot of fun as well.
I'm on board with that. What about the team that's the underdog falling down by a ton? So in the instance of the Spurs last night, and I remember sitting there thinking to myself, even though I was on the Grizz and I wasn't going to do the bet, I'm like, man, I wonder what the Spurs are right now in their live betting, because it's not comfortable to be on the side of the team that's down 24-4. And you're like, wow, this has giant blowout potential, but this is also the playoffs and these are supposed to be the best teams. So if you can get comfortable being uncomfortable, what are your thoughts about backing the dogs that get down big?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to be an interesting one, especially when we're considering that the Phoenix Suns are going to open the playoffs as an underdog. So I think that's definitely one to consider if they fall behind against the Lakers in any of their games. The other thing to consider is these teams that are inconsistent, but when they're on, they just, you know, they can just light up the scoreboard. Of course, if the Wizards manage to make it through, we're talking about this right now on Thursday, so we don't know if this is going to happen, but if the Wizards make it through into the playoffs, that's one team to consider, because when Westbrook and Beal are on, they can fill up the bucket, they can come from behind. Atlanta Hawks are another team that I think really fits that bill, and I think could really make a comeback if they, you know, advance into the second or third rounds. They're playing those higher tier teams. I think they will be a tough out. And the other one is the Dallas Mavericks. So we were just talking about the Clippers. And while I do like the Clippers, we also, we've seen them, you know, build leads and lose them in a hurry before. And, you know, the Mavericks, you know, when they have healthy Luka and Porzingis, they can, you know, they can fill up the bucket. And I think they're perfectly capable of staging a comeback of their own. So I think there's definitely some value, live betting value to look at if you're looking at the Mavericks and their series with the Clippers.
Looking at that series of the Hawks and the Knicks, I'm drawn to the Atlanta Hawks because everybody is slobbing over the Knicks. It's here comes the media. The Knicks are the best. Shout out to Julius Randle, who has been balling out. RJ Barrett, certainly he has improved based on previous years. You got Tibbs as the coach there, but I like this Atlanta team. They have certainly exceeded expectations this year. They can score in a lot of different ways. And I think the unique thing will be, would they win via Trae Young, or are they going to win via the other pieces who have stepped up? Because Bogdanovich has been absolutely ridiculous there. DeAndre Hunter potentially coming back from injury. He was at one point their second best player on their team. Clint Capella, the only player with playoff experience. So I think when you're looking at this game, there's a lot of inexperience, but I want to root for Atlanta. What are your thoughts on this game, on this series?
You know what? I've been on the Knicks bandwagon for a little while now. They've been winning me a lot of bets, covering the spread, cashing unders like crazy as well. So, you know, as much as I like the Knicks, I also agree with you on this one. I think the Hawks have a lot of value. They've looked great since the coaching change. They've been dealing with injuries almost the entire season. And now they're finally starting to be healthy. And if you just kind of look at this lineup top to bottom, the Hawks against the Knicks, I think the Hawks have the advantage in a lot of areas. You know, one of the few areas where I think the Knicks have the advantage is obviously power forward, but John Collins certainly isn't a scrub out there. So, I mean, I think the Hawks match up very well against the Knicks. I also think that they can just throw so many different guys out there that can shoot, attack the basket, score points. And, you know, the Knicks are very tough on defense, but it doesn't take a whole lot to outscore them because the Knicks don't score that many on offense as well. So I think this is a really interesting matchup. And I think a lot of it is going to come down to Tibbs. But like I was mentioning earlier, how you're going to see a lot of these guys log more playing time. You're going to see benches shorten. We've been seeing that for the Knicks pretty much all year. They don't have the greatest bench. They don't have the most amazing depth on that team. And Tibbs has been really riding a lot of their key players a lot. So I don't think you're going to see a massive improvement from the regular season to the postseason for the Knicks. Whereas I do think you're going to see improvement in the Hawks from where they are performing, especially earlier in the season, compared to how well they can perform in the playoffs.
Well, with that, I am going to bet the Hawks in this series because I also am going to enjoy being on Twitter, right or wrong, knowing that my entire Twitter feed is probably going to be on the Knicks because that's what I've been seeing. Rightfully so. The Knicks have been a darling for sports bettors this year, but now comes the time for where you putt for dough. And I just like the Hawks organization and what they're doing. The matchup that seems most appealing to me in the first round, Bucks Heat. Right now, you're looking Bucks minus 315, Heat plus 235. That plus 235 looks oh so juicy because this is a Heat squad that was just in the NBA Finals last year. What are your thoughts on this? Because this is not the matchup that Milwaukee drew up.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a tough one for sure, but I really think Milwaukee's playing their best ball right now. And I think in a lot of ways, they have momentum on their side. Of course, you know, you look at the Bucks regular season, and maybe, you know, their record isn't as good this year as it has in the last few years. But I think they're well aware at this point that, winning the standings in the regular season doesn't amount to much in the playoffs. I think their eyes have been, you know, very much focused on the postseason. And I think the Heat have just been inconsistent. You got to love what they have with Butler, Adebayo, Tyler Hero, those guys. But I don't feel like they've been getting the greatest consistency from their guard play. I don't think they've been, shooting quite as consistently outside of Middleton as they should be. And I don't think they've been shooting consistently outside of, a couple of the other guys like Robinson and stuff like that as they should be. And then when you come against this Bucks team that has, Middleton, Holiday, Anacatempo, I think the Heat are actually going to be in trouble. I don't see this going past six games. As easy as it is to look at the Heat and say, yeah, they made it to the championship. They made it to the finals last year. They just don't seem like the same team this year. I think Oladipo being done for the season definitely hurts. And I think, making that trade, pulling the trigger on the Lowry trade might have been huge for them, because I think there's definitely something they're missing right now. And I think that's going to be exposed against the Bucks.
So Rohit, is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to share with us around your betting mindset, teams you like, teams you don't like, or anything that you're going to be doing strategy wise for the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is if anyone's betting NBA championship futures is, you know, don't go crazy on these lower seeded teams. You know, I mean, as tantalizing as it can be to, you know, look at a red hot team like the Knicks, or, you know, even a team like, you know, the, you know, maybe even the Nuggets at number four. But you look back and geez, I mean, I have it written down right here. Actually, it's just, you know, 74 NBA champions in history, and 72 of them were seeds 1 through 3. That's pretty unreal. I mean, 88% were the top 2 seeded teams. So, I mean, one of the few examples which kind of kicked that was the 1995 Houston Rockets, and they were number 6 seed. They were also the defending champions. So, I mean, Lakers aren't your typical number 7 seed, so I'm not going to put them in the same range as I would the other lower seeds. But generally speaking, I mean, you're going to want to look at those top 2, top 3 seeds and kind of just throw out the other teams, because while plus 2,000 or more might be tempting, it's not going to happen.
And this is something that I preach every single year on this podcast, that there's so many people sitting there with value tickets on the Denver Nuggets before the season starts at plus 4,000 to win the title. Oh, Jokic MVP, Nuggets can be so good. Yeah, those don't end up cashing. So really what you need to think about, if we're going to move forward to next year and say, all right, if I am making a futures bet on the title during the season or before the season, will this be a top 3 seeded team? Because if not, it's not going to fit the formula for who traditionally wins.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key to zero in on it, because like I said, the only two, in the last 60 years or so, the only non-top 2 seeded teams were teams that were also very, very good and were right up there with the top 2 teams. So yeah, I think you definitely have to zero in on those teams that have separated themselves as the cream of the crop.
So Rohit, as I recap my action for this one, I'm going to be on the Hawks because I want to root for them. Number 2, you've got my eyes open to this Suns bet. I'm seeing even at DraftKings at plus 2,000 to win the title, because I'm looking for a reason to fade the Lakers. And of course, if they can beat the Lakers, I love that opportunity there. And then in the back of my mind somewhere, I'm looking at the Clippers in some capacity. I don't know where. And then I am going to be on the 76ers to come out of the East. I'm not sure if I'll have them win the title, but I like them coming out of the East. Is there anything that you want to lay out?
Yeah, I think the big one for me right now is I was looking at the 76ers and the Bucks, and they're both plus 300 to win the East. And for me, it's almost just a matter of me fading the Nets, because I see the Nets at plus 120 at one book, and the 76ers and Bucks at plus 300. And you can take both the 76ers and Bucks to come out of the East. And regardless of who does, you come out ahead as long as the Nets pretty much don't. So I think that's one thing I'm focused on. I also mentioned that I've have some futures bets on the Clippers and Suns. So I think that's definitely value to win it all. And other than that, I'm just excited for a really good postseason. If I was to look at first round and see particular upsets that, you know, I think are kind of bubbling to the surface, this, you know, the Suns is definitely a big one. The other one that really stands out to me is technically right now the Nuggets are underdogs in their first round, plus 110. So I think there's value to be had there, because I straight up think they're better than the Blazers with or without Jamal Murray. So we know Murray's not going to be there. I don't think the Nuggets are going to win at all, but being able to grab them at plus money in the first round, I think that's value.
Rohit, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Best way is on Twitter, at @covers_row. @covers_RO. Of course, if you want to check out any of my betting analysis, go to covers.com. We've got lots of stuff, basketball, UFC, the works.
And I want to hear from you. What does your NBA playoff card look like? And more specifically, you've got $25 to put on one team to win the title. You get $5 for every series that they win. Who are you choosing? You can hit me up on Twitter @RobCressy. Make sure to also tag @covers. And remember, You want to be a sharp? Don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.